This is an NBA Finals Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Fox has it with 20 points tonight. Fox now passed to Wemby. Wemby rises. His shot's no good. Rebound Knicks. Game's over. Lucky 13 for the Knicks.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, NBA Finals Week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only. Or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague of Portland Sports. Leader 105.1, The Fan, and The Fan Sports Network. Hello, happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
I was nervous for you to do that. I didn't want vomit everywhere.
I was just too distraught over my baseball team laying an egg in the Super Regionals, man. I can't come to work after that happens. After we go 0-2 in Texas, I can't make it in.
That's
after
what
that.
We thought.
That was too emotional.
I've been following him all year, from the first pitch all the way to the last out of the last. Actually, I didn't even stay awake till the last game. Made it all the way to the end. I can't come in on a Monday after that.
Yeah, that was the theory that we thought. He's yes. Ducking us. Today's a pivotal day where we talk about duck baseball.
I'll show up after a 50-point loss in the what bowl did we lose in? The Sugar Bowl?
The Peach Bowl.
Peach Bowl.
Oh, the Peach, yeah, you're
50
right.
Point. I'll show up after that. But baseball Super Regionals is a bridge too far, man. I can't overcome that. I'm alive. What did I miss yesterday? Anything fun happen?
Well, we have a theory. So we talked.
We're slowly dying because something happens every month right now.
I feel like I'm on a, yeah. When you text that, I went, dude, he is on a real heater right now.
Yeah, we're feeling great. Last couple of months have been fantastic. About 6 weeks removed from the last illness, we decide to, you know, let's throw food poisoning back in the mix again. That will be fun.
So you got food poisoning at a place that you have largely and loudly defended on this radio program.
Yeah, to be fair, it's kind of the show's fault from last week because we brought the place up and I said on the air, ooh, I'm actually going to eat that suit. It sounds good.
Oh, that's what
it like
it
put
for
it
you?
In my head. And then Saturday I'm like, you know, let's order out. I feel like let's get some takeout food. And it did not age well.
So we talked about the uniqueness of my wife has gotten food poisoning. I've gotten food poisoning.
Yes.
I've gotten it from the same restaurant that me and my wife ate at, but she didn't get it. I've never had joint food poisoning.
Yeah, we had joint. This was the joint. First time we've ever had joint food poisoning.
That's very unique.
I've had it. I don't know if the wife's ever had food poisoning before this. Like, I think back in our relationship, I can't remember a time where she did. This one, though, now, the double whammy was, so I played golf Saturday. A buddy of mine passed away years ago. We started a little charity golf thing for him, and so that was Saturday. The weather was, of course, terrible, so that was fun. It was just pouring down rain, but fun to get together with some buds and play some golf. I got done. She was at the sister-in-law's baby shower, took the kid with her. So I get home, and I'm like, I got nothing going on. I get home at like 5. Dog's been inside all day, so I got to take him for a run. Get home, and it's like, dude, hockey game's about to start. Duck game's about to start. I don't feel like cooking. So that's when I order, but what got me was I got myself something. And then just to be nice, I ordered something for the wife, like in case she's hungry when she gets home, here's some food for her.
Right.
She gets home, she's not hungry, no big deal. I'm going to eat it for lunch tomorrow. So I eat my burrito in like 90 seconds, of course. It's gone like that. Doesn't take very long. Fast forward, wake up a little bit foggy on Sunday. And then at lunchtime, she's like, hey, I'm going to eat my food. Do you want a little bit of it? And I said, well, if you don't eat some, I'll have some. Of course, she just eats like a quarter of it. And then hands me the rest, like, do you want this? And my fat ass says, well, yeah, I bought it. I'm not going to let it go to waste. We got to eat this food. So I ended up eating about 80% of the food, and it was all of the food that was contaminated. And, when I ate that for lunch, it was like did not feel great before then, and then like flip was switched of like the rest of the day is going to be an absolute disaster.
That was exactly because I got food poisoning 2 years ago at a restaurant.
Yes, and I remember it well.
Well,
and I ate at the
thing.
Same place and I did not get food poisoning at that place.
Right. I almost got it day of, night of, and we're supposed to do a show. And I'm like, am I going to get food poisoning in the hotel the night before our show?
This is not going to be fun.
Fought through it, did it. And then the next day with leftovers, my daughter didn't like it. And I'm like, well, I can't waste this.
Right.
And
I bought this. It was expensive. I'm not going to let it go.
That was a big, big mistake, dude. It was over after that. I don't know why I did that.
Right.
But the joint food poisoning is definitely a thing. We also talked about how
you have always defended this company, and you say, hey, when it's wrong, you buy low.
You got to buy low.
But
buy the dips.
When people get food poisoning, they can go one of two ways.
Right.
They recover, they're good. Yeah. They recover, they never eat the food item forever, or they boycott it for X amount of months or years. I said, I think you still buy low.
You think I buy low here?
But the experience is what dictates all of this.
Here's what I will say. As of now, they're canceled.
Yeah.
They have been personally canceled.
They're benched.
Now, I want you to keep this in mind.
Okay.
Because I'm going to need you to hold me accountable here. There will be like a mail sack segment 9 months from now. And I'll say something along the lines of, ooh, that sounds good. I haven't had it in a while. And if I say that, I give you both the opportunity, one to walk into the studio, the other to walk across. Slap me in the face.
Oh, I'm not going
to. If I say
you.
That, I would like for you to cut just dirt. Remember what happened. Give me one of these on the cheek,
yeah.
And then I'll remember. You're right. Thank you for the reminder. I needed that pick-me-up.
It's a fair thing to be feeling right
I'm
now.
I'm done, dude. I can't. I'm not eating it again. It's not happening.
But 9 months from now, it'd been passed by so much. Like, that's an entire pregnancy.
It's a long pregnancy.
That's an entire pregnancy.
That's an entire baby.
And you just want to keep boycotting
it's an entire baby. We're still boycotting. The other food poisoning that I've had in the years that I have not canceled is I've had food poisoning from an Egg McMuffin at McDonald's.
Have you eaten one of those?
And that I have eaten again.
Okay.
I have not fully canceled that one. This one's always given me stomach issues, but I've been willing to overlook that because I enjoy it that much.
Mm.
This is just a bridge too far.
Yeah.
Especially when all the vomit goes into the bathtub, which, by the way, a quick piece of advice if you have food poisoning, don't vomit into the bathtub.
It's pretty terrible.
It's a really bad idea.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have any other choices. And then you're left with like an hour-long cleanup process because you can't just leave vomit in the toilet in the middle of the night.
It is easily the worst decision you can make, not knowingly making the decision.
Yes, yes. Thinking, I'm going to be okay because I had the urge to throw up at like 6:30 the night before. And it didn't. Nothing happened. So I'm like, oh, maybe this was the same thing. So I'm just kind of like leaning over in the bathroom. I think I'll be all right. And then it's from like 0 to 100 in a half of a second.
Yep.
And it's a faucet that turns on. And I happen to be pointing at the bathtub. And that was fun to clean out yesterday.
We had to visit my brother and sister-in-law. They moved to Sacramento years and years ago. Like Jada, my oldest, had just been born. And so we went down and visited her or them. And we went out and it's still to this day one of the heaviest nights of drinking of my life.
Yeah.
Like, we just went to a bar. We're having a good time.
Next thing leads to another.
Dude, they were living in an apartment in Sacramento, and I went in the bathroom, and I just used the whole bathtub. I'm like, the toilet's not big enough. I need the whole tub.
Let it all go.
And I felt terrible because it was like the cleanup was going to be terrible. They had little kids at that time, and they were, you know, obviously taking baths.
They're taking baths in the tub.
But I woke up the next day, and I'm apologizing, and we cleaned up, and I said, hey, how did you do? Because he drinks a little more than I do.
Sure.
Oh, he yacked all over our closet. I'm like, what? The closet?
At least I didn't throw up in the closet.
I'm glad it wasn't on your carpet in another room.
I won that one a little bit. At least a tub is better than on some sort of fabric. That
yes.
is for sure. Like a couch. Yes. I vomited also on a carpet and a rug before.
Not good. It's over. There's no saving that.
The rug is getting tossed at that point.
Yes.
If you're throwing it up on a rug, you just go ahead and roll that thing up and throw it out in the garage because it's a goner, dude.
It's food poisoning is...
Yeah, not fun.
There's a lot of things that obviously can kill us, but like of the things we recover from,
sure,
it's remarkable, it's a miracle, and also it is the worst food poisoning.
And then you have no appetite. Like, I ate basically nothing all day yesterday, so then you just have like a headache all day because you're not eating, you're trying to drink water.
Oh, yeah,
but every time you do, then you get like some spins going on, and it's like, am I gonna start throwing up again? So I put nothing into the system yesterday, woke up early enough today to make sure I could like stomach a breakfast, went down okay, and I was like, all right, we're gonna make it in, we'll be all right.
You brought your post breakfast snack.
I brought double dip because I don't know, I'm like, I got an appetite today, man. I haven't eaten in a day. I probably lost 5 pounds yesterday, man.
Yeah, are you going to avoid every item that was with your, like, not the place, but like, some people will.
Like every piece of food in there. I'm not going to do that.
The rice, the beans,
there was rice
chicken,
in there.
Like,
yeah.
Do you avoid those items? And you're like, you know, and actually, we're going to stay away from these 3-4 things.
We're going to take a break from rice and chicken for a little bit. Rice and chicken will not be
we're
on the menu.
Ground beef.
Sweet potato.
We're good.
All that stuff will be fine. Veggies. Noodles are all acceptable.
Noodles are a
do
good
some
one
fettuccine
now,
for dinner tonight, probably.
Did you call the establishment to let them know?
I did call the establishment to let them know.
I did, yeah. I've never thought to do that.
Because it was both of you.
It was both of us.
And that would be a concern.
Now, here's the catch. Now, and that they're going to get out of it. They said, thank you for the heads up, but it was also not delivered via them. And so that was there. Well, we didn't handle the food all the way to your house, so we have no clue of knowing. We've had no other reports.
Oh, you did a delivery system.
I did a delivery system.
Oh.
Yes. So do I think my food was poisonous? No, I don't think somebody put something in my food to give me food poisoning. It was definitely the restaurant, but that was their get-out-of-jail-free card when I called.
I know you have a small child. How far is this establishment from your house? If you drove.
If I drove 20 minutes, probably.
Wow.
Is that the closest one? 15? Maybe 15 minutes.
I don't think I order 20 minutes away. I don't really do that.
We're not ordering takeout again for a long time.
I don't
say that much, too.
The dashing and the
Ubering.
It
was just the time and the place of, like, getting home from eating or getting home from golfing. It's 5-something, take the dog for a walk, and it's like, I should have done something closer, but we had just talked about it, and it sounded good, and it was on the top of my mind of, like, I've been thinking about that the last 3 days. Let's go get it.
So here's the thing. You're not wrong on, like, scheduling can change a lot of this. I think the wife and I are so conditioned to drive to places that aren't pizza.
Yeah.
That, like, even if it is 15 to 20 minutes, we just get in the car. We
don't
drive
even
think about dashing or Uber eating or whatever it is.
Much more financially responsible on your part.
Well,
now, usually in the neighborhood,
it's kind of expensive,
we'll walk to a place and go pick up food and then take it home. Like, when we eat out 99% of the time.
I'm surprised you didn't go to a local Mexican joint next to your house.
It's game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. Puck's dropping, man.
It was a great game.
I got a super read. Well, that was the irony of it, was the first two periods were terrible.
You're right.
4-0. So I'm sitting there like, I don't want to miss this. And the Duck game's starting. And then the next thing I know, the Ducks are down 5-0 and the hockey game's 4-0. And I'm like, what am I doing? I could have just walked to get some food. I would have missed nothing.
Should have skipped the food and gone straight to the bottle at that point.
At that point, yeah. That would have been the only answer there. Hockey game at least ended up being good. Baseball game, not so much.
I like that people are, they have an ability to get another gig if they need it or want it or just do that job in general. I'm like, pro, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't ever use the service.
Yeah.
I just find the fees and the tip, and I'm like,
hey, it's horrible.
The $9 thing is now $19.
Yes.
And the $10 gap is just me saving 12-minute drive. And
right.
I don't ever mentally find that helpful.
No, it's not. It's not at all.
And, well, I live in where there's, I can walk to.
You have no excuse.
I always go fetch something.
You have everything near you.
All of it's close by.
Yeah.
And that's the case for the most part with us. It was just a rare moment of laziness on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Wife and kid aren't around. Let's maximize as much time as we possibly have here.
Oh, and how many deliveries did they do before yours? So it's 20 minutes just from there to there.
Exactly.
Then it's like, what if there's 4 stops before yours? It's like, dude.
Now it's been sitting out for who knows how long.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing the stupid priority thing, which is all a ruse anyways.
Let me also defend the enterprise. That restaurant, using that as their out, is absolute bull.
Of all the places that don't have a leg to stand on there,
food, just because it's a little colder than when it was hot, like
that does not cause
that
food
don't
poisoning.
Make you yak.
No. Chicken being out for 45 minutes does not cause food poisoning. That's not
God,
a thing.
God, no.
Yeah. Not if it's fully cooked.
Not if it's fully cooked. It will not cause. You can leave it out. I've left chicken out on my counter for 45 minutes before and eaten it after that. That does not cause food poisoning.
Sheesh.
But it did cause us to worry because it's not great, obviously, for a pregnant woman to have food poisoning. So then that was that whole worry.
Was it close to hers? Hers wasn't quite as bad as yours.
She threw up more than I did, but she seemed to be better than I would, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
she had
more of a reaction, but she didn't seem as sick as I did.
Yeah.
But she much better yesterday than I was. A lot of water, hydrating, a little bit of soup here or there. But that was a whole other fear, too, of like, this is great. Well, we're now I have that thought in the back of my mind of, great, I'm causing my unborn child harm now, too. And my kid is fully healthy, and I'm like snapping at him because he wants to go outside and play. But I feel like I can't get off the couch. It's pouring down rain all day yesterday. It's a delightful day at the Johnson household.
The kid being yelled at thing while you're not feeling
good.
You're
just like, man, I love you, buddy. I need a break right now.
I know. And I know the tone you probably really used at home. Like, leave me alone.
Not right now.
You feel bad about it? You can't. I mean, it's just kind of human nature.
Just happens.
At your lowest. He's probably at his most energetic. I want to go do something.
Well, and he also can't do it. Like, he can't be physically active outside because it's raining all day.
Oh,
so we got outside for a little bit, but it's not, it's one thing if you could just go, like, go run around the backyard. I'll sit in a chair out here in the sun. You can handle that. But in the rain, I'm not going outside doing that in the rain yesterday, so I felt bad about that too.
You do realize you kind of brought this all on yourself, right?
Oh, this is all my fault.
I started laughing yesterday.
It's all my fault.
I got out of the car, I saw the text, and I go, crap. God bless Brendan Sorsby.
Yes.
Because, when you're doing a solo show, it's one thing to plan for the full thing.
Yeah, when you know it's coming.
I felt horrible with how late I texted yesterday.
You know, it's whatever, but I started laughing, and I think back every time, because right now it is turning into a once a month, I'm not feeling well.
What will it be in July? Wait and see.
I will never, in the rest of my days, as long as my memory holds, never forget him laughing about the idea of ever being sick because he has an iron stomach.
Iron stomach, dude.
And kids, oh, get out of here. And just like, he's got one, he's got a second coming along the way.
There's no hope.
And it's once a month now. I got pneumonia. I have food poisoning.
It's just killing me day by day, slowly but surely inside. Lack of sleep certainly doesn't help either.
That's definitely a big thing.
Yeah, when your system is run down anyway.
Yeah, getting a little extra Z's would be nice. And then, you know, that's not really happening these days. So we battle through. But it's once a month. It'll be something in July. Can't wait to find out what it's going to be. Ringworm will probably get me.
Oh, taken out by ringworm.
Ringworm's taken. Although I might lose a little bit of weight on ringworm. That could be nice.
The wife was
it's like the new Ozempic.
I think the wife got like mini sick at the end of last week.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter texts me, and I'm like, crap.
Here we go. It's in the house.
And I get back. I'm like, are you all right? Because I heard you were sick. And she goes, who told you that? And I was like, oh, obviously our daughter.
Yeah.
With a phone.
Got word from home.
Yeah, she had little cough, and then she looked tired, but I couldn't tell how much it was dehydration. Anyways, I'm like, God, dude, she's gotten sick like 3 or 4 times this year. Lock on wood.
You're active enough.
Yesterday after the show, I got home and I'm like, do I have a sore throat?
Uh-oh.
Chugged water.
Uh-oh.
I took a 2-hour nap on my couch. I had to. I was like, and it wasn't just
was
doing the solo.
Too.
I got no sleep. I got a bloody nose because our house was too hot. So I got no sleep. Oh, and I took a nap and I'm like, yep, I needed sleep. That's what it was.
That helped right there.
That's all it was.
Little afternoon nap for me yesterday, too. It takes a lot of the pain away, man.
Well, we have the finals.
We have the NBA finals last night. Dare I say?
Yeah.
Are we 6 for 6?
Ooh.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we're 6 for 6.
Are we 6 for 6?
Every game has been great.
Every game's been must-watch.
Compelling.
Oh, you've had
Stanley
stay
Cup final
through.
And NBA
yes.
final. Every
yes.
game has delivered.
Game. Yes, thank you.
Game 3 of the Stanley Cup final looked for a moment like won't happen. And
I
then
was
we had
very
a
discouraged
historic comeback and then an overtime ending.
Well, second period.
And
halftime.
Sure. Yeah. And then yesterday, you kind of had that thought a little bit at halftime, like the way the second quarter went, like, oh, God, the Knicks. They outscored them 18 in the second quarter?
It was 42-24 second
They
quarter.
Were on the ropes, and all of a sudden you're up, and you're like, dude, are they going to run them out of the... And then third quarter happens, you're like, okay, here we go. Went all the way down to the wire. Now, not every game's been an all-time classic, but everyone has kept you around start to finish, 6 for 6.
So, God, there's
Don't
a lot...
Don't let me down tonight, hockey. Do not let me down.
There's a lot of little things about yesterday's basketball game that aren't even, like, necessarily the most important of what the outcome was.
Yeah, a lot of other noise going on there.
Well...
Did you fall asleep in your suite, too? I mean, Lord knows I was passing out in the fourth quarter. I'm ready for bed, dude. I'm right there with you, old man. Me and the orange guy. What? Oh, they score. All right, yeah, good bucket.
Biden's old, though.
Sleepy dirt. Just sit home, fall asleep on his couch.
Turns out 80-year-olds also need a lot of sleep.
Yeah, who would have thunk it?
No, we'll get to that, because that might have been one of the loudest. Is that the loudest noise ever made during an anthem outside of the cheering of, like, the close of the song?
That was all the New York people who had an issue with Wemby locking their arms, they're going to have an issue with that, too. Is that still a thing? Is that a storyline?
I probably will be on a certain channel or 3. No, so one little thing about this game, and you mentioned it there, the second quarter. I didn't go to where you went. There's something about this series where...
Whenever somebody has a lead, you don't give up.
I don't look at this and go, well, I think the Knicks have... Because halftime can be so lengthy, and it can disrupt rhythm and whatnot.
And you lose the home court advantage at the start of the third quarter because everybody's out of their seats.
This is my biggest complaint, actually, yesterday. Mm. Aside from the president showing up and having to make a big... circus, an even bigger circus. It didn't need to be this way. It could have been energetic. And
fans couldn't party out front of the arena and all that.
It was a disaster in that sense. I don't understand. I don't understand how everybody decides that they're all going to do the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
And I know you can say, Sprague, that's stupid. It's halftime. There's a 15 to 20 minute window. Right. But I'd much rather miss a minute in the late first quarter to get my drink and hot dog or go to the bathroom, then be in the line where when they start the third quarter, it's what?
It was empty at the start of the third quarter.
70% full versus what it was at the start of the game.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm looking at Stiller and Chalamet and Spike Lee, and I'm like, they all got back to their seats in time.
Courtside seats have perks.
Well, I mean, yeah, but...
I'm sure they have some private courtside club or yeah. something.
It's the finals.
It's the NBA finals.
You cannot miss.
How much did you spend for that ticket? How much money, especially, like, those up front seats, too?
Those tickets were probably... In the section you could see empty, those tickets are probably $50,000 to $80,000 each.
It's like a year of college tuition that you spent to go to an NBA finals game, and you miss 5 minutes of the third quarter.
For a hot dog.
Waiting in line for
a piss.
To get a cocktail.
What are we doing?
Like, how are you not more prepared than that?
It's one of my biggest gripes in all of sport is basketball game third quarter crowd. It's like as if we just don't care that the most crucial part of the game,
get your ass back in your seat.
Yeah, and it's
what
like
are we doing
the first 4 minutes, no crowd, no vibe.
Nothing.
Guess who came back?
They get off to a great start
the Spurs.
In the third. Yep, here we go, we got a ball game again.
And I don't know if the crowd changes that can be the disruption of momentum.
Sure.
I just that kind of stuck with me. I'm like, seeing the first five rows empty, like, what are you idiots doing?
Yeah. I also think that has to do a lot with the sections that you're looking at. Because I guarantee you, if they show the 300 level, it's fully packed.
Probably.
Because those are your diehard passionate
Probably.
Fans. Whereas those fans are, this is, I mean, that was a great atmosphere last night, but you're just getting a lot of people who don't usually go to games, I'm sure, or taking advantage of the opportunity, and they just, let's miss the start of the third quarter.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. So we had a good game three. You're right, 6-for-6 in
six
hockey
for six.
And basketball right
We're gonna
now.
We're going to go 14-for-14. You ready for this? We're almost halfway there.
I'm all in if it's going to be 14-for-14. We got a loaded show today. Sean Hammond covers the Chicago Bears for the Chicago Tribune at 8 a.m. He's going to hop on. They're going through a stadium ordeal, who also is going through funding through their city ordeal.
Yep.
So I just want to get his perspective on how the government and the team, are they going to go to Indiana? It sure seems like it. Chicago going to come in last second and save it. So we'll talk with Sean Hammond at 8. It is a Mail Sack Tuesday. Dirt and Sprague, we get on next on 105.1 The Fan.
The Wiener.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on a Mail Sack Tuesday, a Sparta TRT Mail Sack Tuesday. I hope everybody's Tuesday morning. I know it's wet and stormy out there, but... is never interrupted by weather.
No, cheer you up immediately. Also, if you don't like hot weather, enjoy this right now, because it's going to be like 100 degrees next Monday.
Also, Dirt's back.
Hey! Got him, boys!
Hey!
Hog him up, Sikorsky!
Hog him up, Sikorsky.
How about that Oregon baseball team, huh? How about that baseball team?
Did you have... So, the one thing, you know, I do love it when we in this industry miss stuff, and it's like, hey! Let's talk about the thing a week ago that I wasn't here for.
That,
like,
I wasn't around to talk about yesterday.
Yesterday was interesting because you had...
Ooh, what was the takeaway from Duck Fan? People were upset. I have buddies who were upset. My takeaway is they...
What are they upset about?
I don't know.
They played a really good Texas team, a team that might win the national championship, while Troy got to go...
The Texas manager even acknowledged, like, this is kind of
ludicrous.
It was
an unfair
bracket. One of us should have played Troy and the other one should have played, you know... Coastal, you know, whatever. Who is it?
Little Rock.
Little Rock. Thank
Rock,
you. It was one of the other small schools that were in there. Oregon baseball did exactly what I want Oregon baseball to do. They gave me a couple of weeks of entertainment when I don't pay attention to the entire season. My Major League Baseball team sucks. They filled that hole for a little bit of like, hey, this is kind of fun. They won a regional at home. They didn't crap the bed in their own stadium.
Well, they dodged
knocking off
Cal
their...
Poly and...
they beat the in-state rival.
In-state, right. Knocked
fan
off
base
their...
greatly
whose
cares.
Fan base actually cares about this and lives and dies with it. And yeah, it didn't end the way that I wanted to. It'd be nice to see him not, you know, get kicked in the teeth in the first game and be more competitive.
God, that first game was terrible.
Like, what he's done at Oregon has been really good. They're a respectable, solid program.
And they're young.
They got a lot of guys coming back. The majority of the roster is homegrown. Like, all those things are cool and exciting. I can't wait to watch the last 3 weeks of the season again next year and probably be disappointed again when they don't make Omaha. But I'm not asking for more than that. There's this weird thing with Oregon, and I balance it sometimes with basketball of, like, I have a hard time being super critical about sports that I'm not that invested in, if that makes sense. Because I think a lot of fans are like me. We follow basketball. We follow baseball. We don't watch it that closely. And then we want to yell and scream as if we're living and dying with every shot. We're doing that with football. Like, an 8-4 season for Lanning this year.
Hot seat.
And you want to scream. And like I get it. We're all invested in that on every snap of every game of every season.
Yeah.
There's just a difference with the other sports. And as long as you're relatively competitive and giving me something to watch and enjoy, I'm not going to ask for more. I'm not going to kill the coach. I'm not going to kill the team. They ran into a buzzsaw. Texas might win the national championship for all we know. It was a nice little run, dude. They won a regional, got to a super regional. Hopefully someday they get to Omaha.
Got to the eighth with two outs with the lead.
Yeah, like you're in the game at the end.
They blew the game, but like you got to the end. You were up. You were close to
sending it. Especially after falling down 4-0. You gave up solo shots to start the game. You're down 2-0. You're like, oh, God, here we go again. And they found their way back into it.
So
that showed some balls at least.
Something I didn't talk about yesterday on the program that I would have talked about if you were here, but you're here now and you're wearing the sweatshirt and we're talking about your program. So I have a very interesting situation ahead of me here. I have what I would describe as
I saw this yesterday.
He is a family friend.
Yes.
It's my nephew's best friend. He's been best friends with him since he was like 8, 9 years old, whatever, you know, whatever age they were. They were tiny, right?
Sure.
I've seen this kid forever. They're juniors going into senior year high school. He committed to Oregon yesterday.
I saw that.
And I saw him.
He got a Hayes Fawcett edit. That's a big deal.
He got an edit, I think, from all of the recruiting bros. He's one of the better players in the state.
Yep.
But I saw him before he committed. And he was at my niece's graduation party, and so me and my cousin whooped him and my nephew's ass in cornhole.
There you go.
To teach him, before you go to college.
Look at this.
Yeah,
you better upgrade your cornhole skills here. You got to know how to do that in college.
I knew he was going to commit. He hadn't posted about it, and so it was a big deal. We were talking about it, and he knows because when he started his recruiting stuff, Oregon State was kind of at the front because they were the first school to reach out locally.
Usually how it works in state.
And I really believe in his, like, skill. His size is really good. He's a little under 200, but he's 6'3". He's got a 40-inch vert. He runs a 4.5 40. His hands are huge.
Get that kid in a college nutrition and weightlifting program. The transformation you see for guys from, like, spring to the next fall.
It's crazy.
Their first year on campus.
It's crazy.
Absolutely blows your mind.
He's a stud athlete. He had 20 TUDs last year. Like, he's a beast.
Yeah.
And I just believe in him. But he made a joke when I showed up to the party, and he's wearing a Duck basketball shirt. And I go, I knew it.
I knew it.
And he starts laughing. He goes, I'm going to have to get you some duck gear. And
that's
I was
right.
like,
right. Come on to the flock, buddy.
I'm not rooting for the team. I'm rooting for the player.
Yeah.
And he starts laughing. He goes, oh, I know. But I'm in a weird conundrum of like, let's say he actually gets any run this freshman year because he thinks, you know, he doesn't know if he'll play or not his first year.
He's got one more year of high school and then he's going.
Yeah, his first year.
A lot of guys will be like Stewart will be gone. We'll see some of the other guys and the decisions they make. But
I think he'll be bumped to a 4-star. He's pretty much on the line of it right now. So he'll be a 4-star kid coming in.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do if Oregon is in a playoff game and he's actually like a big contributing member.
Right.
I'm gonna proudly like root for him, go to a game or two. And,
yes,
you know I'll always see him. But
the Civil War will be back by then.
What do I do if they're in a playoff game? Like, am I wearing duck gear on the show? Am I like, what if I buy his jersey to support his NIL?
I think you probably should. I think you're gonna have to.
I'm in a weird spot.
Welcome to the flock, buddy.
It's not my kid.
You're duck of a different feather, man.
It's a weird place.
It is. I've thought about this a lot with like family members and close friends who have kids, and like if you get in that situation, I think the right answer is. You don't, like, I'm not going to wear it out in public at all times. Like, wearing one on the show, I wouldn't ask you to do that. That may be a little too extreme. But, like, during a game, you're going to wear the gear, and you're going to root for the team. And I would have the same, like, if my nephew went to Washington and played football, I'd have no choice but to do it. He's my nephew.
So you're wearing Husky gear.
I will root for them to win the game.
Wearing the gear?
I would wear
zero
of their gear other than his jersey.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't buy a Washington football sweatshirt.
Right.
I would buy his jersey to support him, and I would own the jersey. Because that would be such a cool thing to have.
Yeah.
Like, to have the jersey, I'd have him sign it, even get it framed maybe when his playing days are done, put that up. Like, that's your nephew, dude. That's something to be proud about. So I get the weird conundrum of it. The second he leaves school, you go back to where it was before, right? So it's like a weird coma that you're in, supporting them. And then the second he's gone, it's over. You don't even have to think about it anymore.
The funny thing is, the second he's gone, my daughter somehow goes to Oregon. I'm like, well, all right, I guess this is going to keep going.
She's going to go play hoops at Oregon. Let's go.
Well, I don't know about that, but she got her mom's height gene, not dad's.
It'd be a point guard. Come on, how big is Paige Becker? She's tiny, right?
She's like 6'1".
Oh, damn it.
No, it's just an interesting spot. It's interesting to watch a player, because I have never had anybody, you know, anybody that's of that age.
Sure.
They're my niece and nephew. And so
that
it's like, them being this age now where this has become a thing because he's such a good athlete.
Yeah.
He caught some flack. I was reading some of the comments of all his posts.
Well, he committed to Washington State pretty shortly ago.
So he committed to Washington State. There's an explanation for this. Sure. I can defend this a little bit.
Yes.
So
I mean, they're kids. Who cares? There's no defense of it. Well, they're kids. Do what you want to do.
So he committed to Wazoo June 4th.
Right.
It's June 9th today.
Yes.
Right? So he committed to Oregon yesterday, June 8th. So it's 4 days. And everybody was commenting, June 4th? You flipped in 4 days?
4 days, yeah.
It was incredibly crazy, stupid timing.
Yeah.
He got offered by Wazoo, Oregon State, Boise State, all of them. Wazoo interested him the most because he probably playing time-wise would be instantly.
Immediately go play at Wazoo. That's the biggest selling point, yeah.
Right. So he, you know, I want him to go SU, but I can't fault him. I'm like, dude, that's great, man. Go to Pullman, dominate. Literally 2 days after. Right. You like Oregon. Right. And it's like, oh, my God. My dream. It's been his dream school. It's his dream school since he was 10 years old.
You grow up wanting to go there, and they call you and give you an offer out of the blue.
Right after he commits. And so it's like, is it the best thing? No, but it's not his fault the timing happened the way it happened.
I was such an idiot when I was 18 years old. I can't even begin, not even 18, 17 years old. I can't even begin to tell you. I will never criticize these kids for doing stuff.
Oh, I'm not criticizing.
No, I know, but I know that exists out there, that when you have that quick of a flip of like, how could you do that? It's like, were you recruited by big time schools?
I know, that's
Did
what
you
I'm
get
saying.
An offer 5 days later from your all time dream school that you wanted to
crazy.
Go to? It totally changes things, man. It's going to be crazy. I'm happy. I was excited to see that yesterday because I knew that was kind of in the works. And when he committed yesterday, I was like, that was a quick flip. Good for him, though, man. Go to your dream school. And I'm rooting like hell for it, man. It gives me another interest in rooting for Oregon.
The I think taking the photos for these recruits.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like outside of the stuff they're doing on recruiting.
Did the
trips.
Dad jump into the uniform in the recruiting photo shoot?
He didn't jump into the uniform, but he has a photo with his parents on the field holding the O up.
Yeah.
And I saw both of them, and I talked to his dad a little bit, and he said Lanning was busting his chops because he's a Bills fan. So Lanning's like, I see that T-shirt, right? Yeah. We're going to be fast friends.
We own you in the AFC, right?
But he was telling me that, and then I just – it's crazy how many different photo shoots you have to do.
A lot of photo shoots, dude.
These kids love to do them.
Yes.
He's sitting on a throne. He's in the locker room jumping and flexing. Now he's on the field. Like, it's just a whole day of photo shoots.
Put the different uniforms on. They let you pick and choose whichever uniform you want, too, which I'm a little jealous of because every time I see it, I'm like, God, why don't they bring those back?
I know.
Because guys will wear, like, throwback jerseys or, you know, Dennis Dixon-era jerseys or whatever the case, and you put them on, and you're like, that still looks good. Why are we not wearing those on Saturdays anymore?
I think half his wardrobe now is just off wall Oregon sports, like Oregon softball hat. He was wearing a basketball
t-shirt. We got a box of stuff. What do you want to take home? You want an Oregon basketball shirt? You want to root for the softball program?
Yes.
Your conundrum, though, it always makes me think of Alex Molden, of like how weird must that have been of being a legendary player at a place. And then your son, your oldest son,
goes
to the biggest rival.
I know.
And then your second son, and I don't know if he will stay committed. We'll wait and see on that. But his youngest one, who's at West Lynn right now, is now committed to Oregon. So it's just like the idea of...
I feel very strongly about that commitment. I
do, too. I feel very firm about it as well. I like his head coach. But just the idea of like having to root for your kid going to the biggest rival when you played there. Because I know what that means. It's one thing to be a fan and be on the outside looking in and hate another school.
Right.
It's another to play against that school
to
and
have the sweat,
the hatred of that school, and then your kid goes to the other one. It's just a funny conundrum.
It's a crazy
that
world.
You certainly overlook. You root for your kid, and then they're gone, and it's all right. We're back to hating them the way we're supposed to.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring that up yesterday because I thought that was a really funny situation. I'm like, oh my God, am I gonna have to wear his jersey?
Welcome to the flock, buddy.
Yeah, to them.
Skoducks.
Welcome to them.
You can drop a sco to me?
No, I'm not doing that.
We'll walk into the room every day. You can give me a sco to start the show?
I said, I hope you get 2 touchdowns and 8 catches and you lose to my team. And started laughing. He's like, we're not losing to you guys.
Yeah, it's not going to
happen. He's already talking trash.
He's already talking trash.
All right. Well, we'll get to the Game 3 stuff from the Garden and Wemby and the Spurs making this a series. And now we got a 2-1 situation. We'll get to that. Coming up at the top of the hour. It is 6:39 during spray. We're back with more on 105.1 The Fan. Mail sack questions can be sent at 503-864-6326. You can put them in the YouTube chat, or you can tweet them to us at Dirt and Sprague on social media. We'll get to that in the final hour. The Sparta TRT mail sack today, a beautiful little Tuesday. We'll dive into the full element of Game 3, Spurs-Knicks. We got a 2-1 series now, Wemby and the Spurs winning at Madison Square Garden. The energy was great last night. I turned it on 45 minutes before just to kind of get
to
a feel of it.
Just to see the vibe of the pregame and everything going on. Yeah.
Well, because the Preezy of the Steezy was in the house, like everybody had to be there super early.
Yes, they did.
And so it was like almost everybody was in their seat 45 minutes before the game.
It also just, I mean, the history of it, right? You haven't been in an NBA final since 1999. You haven't won one in forever. So they've been hungry for it for a long time. I would care to guess that if we had a similar situation, that the entire arena would be full 45 minutes before. Ooh. The, just because the anticipation, like you dream about a moment like that as a fan for how many years? And it's not like New York over the years has been a team that's been close and knocking on the door. They've been miles away from it for a long time. So I think that was as much about the security issues of everybody not wanting to be late as it was of like, I'm soaking up every second of this, other than the start of the third quarter because they were all in line.
I asked Swag this question. I can ask you now because we have game three result. But
yes,
going into game three, if we were the Spurs, if it was Blazers-Knicks,
yeah,
we hosted, we were dominant, we had the unicorn, what would our Monday show have sounded like? More pessimism, it's over, they're the young team, the Knicks just look kind of like it's destiny.
Yes.
Or do you come in still kind of cocky sniffing like, no, we're going to go on the road. We did it in the Western Conference Finals, Game 7.
Right.
Where do you think we as a show would have been going into Game 3?
I don't think it would have been a cocky sniffing, but I think that I would not have given up hope yet. There still would have been a level of optimism. Cocky sniffing, I can't do that down 0-2. Blowing the first two games at home like that, no, you're the young team. I can't go that far. But the first two games were so close in toss-ups in multiple ways that I would tell myself, like, dude, if Wemby hits a shot at the end of game two, the series
they
is tied 1-1.
Yeah.
Like, that's how, just literally, that's how close you were. And then you could go into the nitty-gritty of other details on top of that. And so I wouldn't have given up hope. There would have been some optimism because you have the freakiest of freaky players that the NBA has ever seen. And as long as you have that in your back pocket, like, you're going to have a chance to win a lot of these games. It was funny, too, because at the start, you never know who's going to come out and be tight and nervous. Like one team down 2-0, it felt like New York was the nervous team for the majority of that first quarter. They couldn't even complete a pass to each other for the first 5 minutes of that game. They were so discombobulated.
You could tell the nerves.
Like
had
you,
hit them.
It just was like, and
that
they're
energy.
The team up 2-0.
I know.
It should have been reversed. The team who was basically playing for their lives because you're down 3-0, you're not coming back. That was the series last night. And New York looked like the more rattled team early, at
See,
least.
That's the thing. I think because of the buzz of the city, the winning the first two games on the road, hosting a finals for the first time since 99, you had the president involved. I think because of all of that stuff, I agreed with the pregame broadcast. I actually thought game three was on the Knicks.
Mm.
As crazy as that sounds, because their Spurs are the ones down 0-2.
They won the first two games on the road.
But because of the buzz of the building.
Yeah.
And the Spurs just going, all right, I mean, you're up 2-0. Take care of your business. Here you go. They're all rooting for you.
Right.
It just, there was a weird feel of that of like, it doesn't really make any sense in my brain, but I kind of agreed with the idea that the pressure seemed to be more on New York.
Mm.
And I thought the beginning of the game, they kind of played that way. So I think the energy of that building, it was electric. It was awesome.
It was, yeah.
But I just kind of felt when they started it off, I'm like, ooh, dude, all the pressure, man. The Knicks have to come out sharp. Otherwise, Spurs are going to feel comfortable, and the energy's great. You're going to go on runs, but they're going to feel like, okay, we can get this
one. Well, I think it's the idea of the opportunity that was in front of you last night, that we now know that it slipped through your fingers. You win that game, the series is over. Like, San Antonio's not winning four in a row against you. I wasn't going to say that after 2-0. I wasn't here to talk about the series, obviously, yesterday.
Right.
But I know we debated that a little bit last week. Like, if New York is to win game two, how do you feel? And I wouldn't have said the series is over. You still got to give them a puncher's chance. New York's obviously the favorite. It's just the idea of you had the opportunity to put, like, a foot on the throat of San Antonio last night. Like, it was in front of you at home in that environment. And that's a lot of pressure to know if you win that game, it's essentially over. And they let it slip through, and now we got ourselves a series. And I think the biggest fear is that once you give a team a little bit of hope and a little bit of life, where does it go from here? And now you go into game four where it feels like more pressure is definitely on New York.
Right.
Because if you blow, like, all of a sudden you're back tied 2-2, everything swings the other direction, you're going back to San Antonio. Maybe we end up with one of those, like, what was it, the Nats and the Astros World Series?
Nobody wins at home.
The road team won every game of the World Series. That, and it was like,
my Knicks in seven
at some point it's got to break, and it never broke. And the Nats won game seven on the road in Houston, so maybe it ends that direction, which would be kind of funny and ironic. But it that you were just you had that opportunity in front of you to basically close the series last night. You couldn't do it.
So, did the president of the United States get what he wanted yesterday?
I don't really know what he wanted. Just attention?
So why did he go?
I don't know.
New York hates him.
New York's not a big fan
of him. They haven't liked him. They didn't like him before he was president.
I think he got 17% of the vote in Manhattan in the last presidential election.
So I was kind of thinking about, there's always got to be an angle with him.
Yeah.
And what's the angle? Is it just the attention, the talk, the
conversation?
I'm gonna change everything because if I'm here, everything gets changed, or
probably put yourself at the forefront of stuff.
That is, I can't think of what a second would be of, like, I've never seen anybody get quite booed like that.
No, that was
pretty
loud.
During the national anthem.
We've never seen a sitting president at an NBA Finals
game before.
That
was the first, yeah.
Obama went to the Raptors and Warriors game, but it was in 2019, so he'd been, what, at office for 3 years at that point?
Yeah.
He was at that. I can't remember if he went to another NBA Finals game or not, but I know he went to that one. I can't remember exactly why, but I remember it being there. But obviously out of office. And it's just like the security concerns are less for a not sitting U.S. president.
Yes.
Like, there's obviously still a Secret Service element to it, and you got to get scanned going into the building and all that. But it's not quite the same as
the detail.
The detail and everything that goes into it when you're a sitting president. That was the only, like, whatever, dude. You want to go and you want to get booed, that's fine. It was the impact that it had on the diehard fans who have been waiting their entire lives for this moment. Like, there was a stat that they showed on the start of the broadcast where it was like 70% of New Yorkers that live in the city were born after the last championship.
Yeah, they haven't seen a title.
Because they won in 74,
yes.
Right? And so that so much of this, so they've never really experienced this before. You're up 2-0. And they have been, if you've been following the Knicks in the playoffs, they've been throwing these like massive parties out in front of the stadium.
Right.
They shut down all the blocks around. And there's like, so you're basically there, but you can't go. But you feel like you're there for all the fans that can't afford it. And they had to close all that down. And that was the bummer of like, these people have waited their entire lives for it. And because one person's vanity wants to be there, they can't do it for security concerns. And that sucks.
Well, it's absolutely turned into, because they lost their first game, it's turned into the Trump loss.
Oh, we're blaming him. He's the
jinx. Knick fan has already fully dove into that.
I mean, if it happened to us, if a politician showed up that we largely didn't like as a city and we were up 2-0 in the NBA Finals, we would probably have the same reaction as well.
So here is how it sounded during the national anthem.
I think they left a lot up for debate there.
I don't think that was interpretation at all.
I think we see your feelings, New York City. Well, we see where you're coming from.
So aside from however you feel about him, and
sure.
I know a lot of people out here and New York feel a certain way, I just kind of kept thinking about where he was sitting. He wasn't in like a regular suite. It was in like a makeshift, I'm pretty sure it was a bulletproof.
Yeah, probably, they had bulletproof glass.
It just
up
didn't
and
look
stuff.
Like a good
well,
place to want to watch a
up,
game.
Well, it kicked up. I noticed because I was not home yet for the pregame stuff. So, but it kicked up when he went to salute.
Mm.
Well, you didn't see. I didn't see him. I watched the pregame. I didn't see him tell the national anthem.
No, they didn't show him at all.
They didn't show him
the anthem.
Silver did a thing on the pregame about how it was so awkward because Barkley Smith and Shaq, nice. They're all kind of sitting on the court, and Silver's like, you know, he used to be a Knicks fan, or he is a Knicks fan. He used to go to games. Kenny, you back in the day. And they're just like not reacting.
None of them want to play
Barkley
along with that.
Barkley hates him. Yeah. It's just like, it was a really awkward little setup. And then they show him, I just saw where he was sitting, and I'm like, I wouldn't even want to watch a game through the weird bulletproof glass thing. I'd just much rather watch it on a big screen on my couch if I'm going to go as the president and I'm going to get mercilessly booed. Like,
doesn't seem like a great outcome
I'm good off that, man.
Yeah, they're definitely going to turn this on him. He won't be at game four, right? If I read that correctly, that he's not going to be attending game four.
Yeah, I think this was a
one and done. He was doing the one and
done. Why didn't he go to Texas?
Yeah, you're probably not getting booed in San Antonio.
It's going to be maybe a little bit, but like mostly you're going
to
get cheers.
I don't know that he got invited to go.
Yeah, that's true. Who owns the Spurs?
I forget the name of the guy.
Have they owned it for a long time? Is it the same owner from years ago?
Well,
or they
at one point
sold?
It was Ziggy Wilf who owned the Vikings.
Right.
But I think he sold it.
Yeah, because Dolan and him are buds from back in the day.
Lewis family?
Okay, the Lewis family.
Oh, wait, no, that's the Tottenham owner.
Oh, wrong Spurs. Different
wrong
Spurs. Also an applicable Spurs, but not the one we're looking for right now.
Peter Holt.
Peter Holt.
That's who it is, Peter Holt.
Oh, Peter.
Peter Holt is the acting governor of the Spurs, so yeah. I don't know.
We'll see if he ends up going to another game.
Also, James Dolan had to go from sitting courtside to up because he was their friends. So
he left in the fourth quarter, and Dolan ended up back on the sideline. left with a few minutes to go, like 7 minutes ago in the fourth. He left.
He got back down.
And
there,
Dolan went down to courtside.
All right, game three. Let's dive into it, man. Spurs.
We got ourselves a series.
They've made it a series.
Yes, they have.
I'm excited about this one. I thought it was a great game three. First quarter, really shaky for the Knicks. Obviously, second quarter turned completely around. And so we have a little bit of a back and forth with, I don't know who you guys think has been the better team in the series. I don't even know how you can parse that out, but we'll dive into it. Hour number two, we start with game three, Spurs-Knicks, a 2-1 series now. Dirt and Sprague, 105-1, the Fan.